Hello, this is Kinch Rendell with Your Business Podcast with a book review of the book, The Promise of a Pencil by Adam Braun, B-R-A-U-N. This is a great book. Great read, easy read, really good stories. I'm not sure if he gets to take all the credit or not. He literally writes in a very easy to read, easy to remember format, a style. It was just great. It was easy to read. Probably spent 2 or 3 days reading it max, a little bit of time here and there. I first heard of and saw Adam Braun a couple months ago in Las Vegas at a conference. Appropriately named Thrive, Make Money Matter. He started this organization when he was 25 years old. He was basically working, being a consultant at Bain, a very well-known consulting firm, one of the largest, prestigious. And at 25 years old, he deposited $25 to get this going. So what is the promise of a pencil? He basically realized by asking kids on this semester at sea he took, if I could give you anything in the world, or if you could have anything in the world, what would you want? And this kid in India said, I'd like a pencil. And Adam's like, no, really, what would you want? If you could have anything. And he said, a pencil. Well, Adam had a pencil. So he gave it to the kid. And saw him just light up. Adam then realized that the pencil to that kid represented a different life, because the kids his age that had pencils were going to school, and he didn't have that opportunity. And that really stuck with Adam enough so that with $25 at 25 years old, he got the idea that he's going to start building schools for these kids that have no schools, have no opportunity to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. None. $25 at 25 years old. So he has this organization, started in 2009. At this point in 2015, the end of 2015, they built over 320 schools. It really hit me that for $25,000, they will build a school in one of three countries. So if you have $25,000, if you and a group of friends have $25,000, you can put it together and have a school built for kids that otherwise have no place to go to learn. What do they do during the day? They have no teachers that can teach them how to read, write. It really hit me, and I don't know why all this. I mean, obviously, there's a big draw to this for years and years, because people have built all these schools, and the organization supports them. They support the teachers. All the schools they've built are still educating kids. They said often, people will go to a community and help build something, and then it'll be taken over by the government for something else. So in the instance of POP, Pencils of Promise, they make sure the local community is going to invest 10 to 20% in labor and or the actual materials to build these schools, so they know they're invested. They know the government has buy-in to provide teachers to the school and pay them. And then POP will also help educate the teachers and follow up with them and have people in the local community that are out there to support them. So it's a full circle, a full offering when it comes to just a school. Let you know, all the money donated online goes directly to funding these different projects. They hold a gala each year. That's how they fund their operational side, their salaries and such, the office space, how they do that part of it. So this book was really easy to read, a great cause, I would say. As he would say, it's not a nonprofit. It's a for-purpose entity. It's grown much bigger than he imagined. He literally had the goal to have one school. So the book's broken down into like 30 different chapters. Each one has a mantra, so I'll cover a lot of the mantras and some of the writing directly from the book, quite a bit of that here. Let's get started. Big dreams start with small and reasonable acts. So he started with a dream. He started $25 in a bank account. He was 25 years old. He thought, hey, those two things align, 25 and 25. Let's start with the minimum. The biggest dreams often start with small and reasonable acts. Which of your dreams can you start with a small and reasonable act? And followed up every day with another small act, small effort. That's what I take from that. That sometimes the smallest things, the smallest idea of a kid wants a pencil. Asking the question, why does a kid want a pencil? And realizing, wow, it's because he realizes the kids with pencils have a different life. They get to go to school. They get to be educated. The opportunities that come with that pencil in that kid's mind. The difference between a lunatic and a leader is that only one of them has others who join in his or her pursuit. So Adam was surely considered a lunatic when he was thinking about, I'm going to leave Bain Capital. I'm going to leave six-figure income for this charity nonprofit, for-profit business he was starting. But he got other people to buy in. Other people understood and saw what he saw. He saw the opportunities, saw the differences it could make for these kids. So can you get people to join in with your pursuits, your passions? Who can help you? Can you help somebody else? Can you join in with other people? Maybe you join in somebody else's business, somebody else's nonprofit, for-profit, somebody else's farm, whatever it is for you. Early adopters and evangelists are actually the ones who make a company's success possible. So first is just Adam. And then he started getting buy-in from his friends who'd give the time and the effort and the energy to help him do this. And he realized that's what made it more of a success. How many of us have ideas and we just start kind of working on them, but they never come to fruition? Start trying to get buy-in. Get other people to help you. Early adopters, share what you're doing so maybe other people that are aligned with you, aligned with your ideas, will join in. Another mantra, practice humility over hubris. Be humble. Be humble. It's really not all about me. Even my ideas are not all about me. They're much more than that. It's in the moments when you feel most confident that you're most likely to fall flat on your face. I take that as being overly confident, assuming too much, just going with something without doing the research and homework. So if you feel overly confident, I know this is going to succeed, make sure you put in the homework, the effort, the research. We learn far more from our mistakes than we do from our successes. And although it nearly cost me my job and my best opportunity to start Pencils of Promise, his boss was right to demand nothing short of excellence. And Adam would never make the same mistakes again. At this part in the book and the stories, he started to pop, at least in his mind it started. He's got the bank account and such. And he really wants to spend all his free time doing that, or more of his time doing that. And that's what he wants to spend, let's say anything past 40 hours a week doing. But he's assigned to a new manager at Bain who expects him to get some things done. And he doesn't do them to the best of his ability. And he's not willing to sacrifice his time. And as a matter of fact, at one of these points, he's got a party or a gala where everybody's going to donate money to Pop for coming. And he's not willing to miss that. And he probably can't miss that to get his work done. And this makes me realize, I've read some and heard so many times, how you do anything is how you do everything. Or how you do everything is how you do anything. So you may hate your day job or not like it a lot, but if you are doing the best you can do there, that level of excellence will go everywhere to everything you're doing. It will help you in your other areas because you've got that work ethic, that habit of being the best you can be, doing the best you can do. And hopefully that carries over into all areas, all your side projects, all the dreams you have. So just try to be the best you can be at everything you do. Go all in with it. That may get you a promotion. It may change your job to where you end up liking your job for some odd reason. Just do it the best you can do. And then come back to the failures over successes. Make sure you know why you failed. And if you have a fear of failure, change that in your mind to be, it's an experiment. If you're always experimenting, it's okay to fail. How many experiments failed for the light bulb for Thomas Edison? Or Benjamin Franklin, I'm getting all the names mixed up. Failures. No, experiments. You won't look at yourself as a failure if you realize it's an experiment and you keep trying. Because if you keep trying, you've learned new things by studying that. And whether you come up with, let's say, the light bulb or something else, whether you come up with business A or business B. I was going to have a pie shop. I ended up with a muffin shop because the muffins actually got a better review and people bought them more. Experiments. So instead of fear of failure, have a love of experimentation. They're all experiments. Mantra. Speak the language of the person you want to become. Speak the language of the person you want to become. Start speaking and being who you're becoming. Make the conscious effort now to project outwardly by speaking. How would that person speak? If you want to be a mentor, how would they speak? Who would you help? Do you have to learn more to speak to be able to help more people? Yes. He then says, sometimes you know something in your head, and other times you know it in your heart. The mind delivers logic and reason, but the heart is where faith resides. In moments of uncertainty, when you must choose between two paths, allowing yourself to be overcome by either the fear of failure or the dimly lit light of possibility, immerse yourself in the life you would be the most proud to live. I love his writing. It's easy to read. There are so many quotes in here I highlighted and so many thoughts. I'm like, wow, this can apply to business, your personal life, your networking life, starting a nonprofit, being more than you realize you could be, affecting more. The beginning of the book, he has a quote that I actually did not highlight and paste in here. That comes back to this. How he sees himself as an uncommon person that can be so much more. That literally, the most proud to live. Immerse yourself in the life you'd be most proud to live. So not just day-to-day activities. You got to have that goal, that dream, the desires, and align that to that bigger, better self. I'm going to find the quote, I swear. I swear. He donated the book. Coming back to the quote at the beginning of his book from Howard Thurman, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and then go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Another just powerful quote that he highlights in here with all these mantras. He goes on to say, the more we speak in the voice of our most aspirational self, the closer we pull our future into our present. So speaking, being, researching, knowing who you want to be, and then starting those processes now. Starting speaking that, look that way, feel that way, be that way. Learn that language now, and if you start implementing it now, it helps you get there that much quicker. Another mantra is, find the impossible ones and focus on one person in every room. Something might seem impossible only until you try. You put in the effort. Focus on one person in every room. He notes in here a speaking technique that I'm going to start implementing a little bit more. He realized when he's speaking in front of people, if you can just focus on one, you tell a story, each part of your, let's say you're in a longer speech of an hour or so. You tell the story to one person, one little bit of the story to one person. And then you switch to a different person for another part of the story. So can you do that? Can you really bring those people in? I'm always telling people at Toastmasters, they should really look around the audience and make eye contact. But how much more powerful, Adam notes, that it is whenever you really tell each little bit of the story to a certain person in the audience. That's an advanced technique, I would say, but he points out how great that is. And in just general life, can you focus on who you're with in that moment? It's so easy to be distracted by other conversations, but once again, why be normal? You don't want to be normal. You want to be different in that you're going to focus. Next mantra, read the signs along the path. Makes me think of, you got to notice what's going on around you. You got to notice the opportunities. You got to notice kind of just the little magical bits that are coming out in and around you. For me, I realized a couple years ago that you see what you're looking for. Oddly enough for me, the first time that kind of came into fruition, or I realized, oh, it does happen. The number I use in racing is number 11. So by golly, when I'm driving down the freeway and it's mile marker 11 or 211 or 111 or 511, I notice those things. I can notice when it's 1111 when I used to have the day job and look down and see that exact time. And I started realizing, oh, whatever I focus on, I notice more of, whether it's opportunities or something else. lately I've been thinking, I want to learn how to juggle. So I've seen articles and videos about juggling, and you have not researched any of it yet. Opportunities. I swear I see opportunities because I know they're out there. And I'm always looking for good opportunities, good for myself and other people. To literally read the signs along the path, notice the signs, notice the opportunities, notice what's being made available in your world. Sometimes you have to change your attitude and really bring some of those things in, whether it's cutting out magazine pictures or listening to podcasts. You got to put in some of the effort so that your subconscious and conscious both know what you're looking for, what you're wanting to expand. Mantra. Read the signs along the path. Just notice them and then take action on them. I wish for everybody to notice them and find them and take action. Reid Hoffman, the founder of LinkedIn, has said that an entrepreneur is someone who will jump off a cliff and assemble an airplane on the way down. Adam then says, I wasn't ready to jump yet, but it was time to start looking for airplane parts. At this point, he realized he was working at Bain Capital, but in reality, he wanted to jump ship. He wanted to do something else with his life. What he thought was the path he wanted to go on, making six figures, living in New York, partying, wasn't as fulfilling. It wasn't his true calling. It wasn't what he desired to do and had fun doing and enjoyed doing. I know so many people that are right about 40 years old. They want to jump out of their careers so bad. They want to. They're scared to, but they want to. Next mantra, never take no from someone who can't say yes. You got to realize if you're asking someone for something, in an organization or just personally or anything else, if they are not allowed to say yes, then don't accept their no. It might be a gatekeeper. You might be trying to contact somebody. You might be talking to their assistant. They probably can't say yes to some things. So when they say no, you got to keep trying. You got to keep trying. That's kind of interesting. I throw in little tidbits like this. There's all kinds of little interesting things that you can usually really use in your life, no matter if it's for business or something else. Stay guided by your values, not your necessities. Values over necessities. I relate this back to Shailene Johnson's class I'm taking called Smart Success. Lining things up, knowing what your key priorities are, your key values, and any opportunities you have, anything else you're pursuing, make sure it lines up with your values, with your key priorities before accepting it. Because otherwise it's not going to feel and give you the feelings and the successes you may be hoping because it's not lined up with your values. You'll end up somewhere else and go, wow, how did I get here? I've got all the money now, but I don't have the life I wanted to have with my family. So stay guided by your values, not your necessities. Because a lot of the necessities are just necessary in your mind. Nothing is more potent or deceptive than the competing interest of another great opportunity. In those moments when priorities clash, always stay guided by your values, not your perceived necessities. Necessities exist in a state of mind that will not last, whereas values are transcendent and enduring. Values are transcendent and enduring. I always think of all the shiny objects is how I describe it. Opportunities. Oh, I want to do this and that and the other. Oh, I want to do that one and that one. And it holds me back. I have a 4-foot by 8-foot whiteboard behind me with ideas written on it. A whole bunch of projects I've already started and other ones I want to start. So trying to line that back up with my values of which ones can I follow through with. Which ones are more impactful. Which ones are more aligned with my passions. Because competing interests can stop both things. If you have two things you're doing, maybe you're not going to get either one done. I keep trying to get all these different things done, but sometimes it just holds me back. Next mantra, you cannot fake authenticity. Can't fake it. People that are really authentic, they're going to do more and be more, I would say. There's no mask. They're not trying to be somebody else. They're not trying to get a job just because they think they need it, because they think it's necessary. He talks about hiring a guy to be a COO, going out there, and he was being proactive to find the right people to join him. Next mantra, there is only one chance at a first impression. I'm reminded when I showed up at Toastmasters for a speech about farming, permaculture farming. And I dressed in exactly what I would wear headed out to the farm. And some people commented about, you should at least dress up. And other people understood that I was dressed as I dress for going to the farm. Now, in the back of my mind, I realized Joel Salatin from Polyface Farms, he notes in his books and on his videos, he always dresses up in a suit and tie when he goes to speak. The same thing I should have been doing, but I thought, oh, it'd be cool to look like a farmer, at least my kind of farmer. Only a one chance at a first impression. So just think about that. If you're going to go meet people, make sure you're dressed appropriately. And he even notes in here at some point, he goes to ask. He finally gets over his fear of asking for money. I mean, years down the road, he'd never gone out there and asked for money. Just all the grassroots, people coming together to get money going to build schools. He finally gets over that. And he's going to go have dinner, lunch, and ask this guy to commit to $250,000 a year for 3 years. And he's wearing jeans. And the guy, of course, is there in a suit at a very nice restaurant. And the guy notes afterwards in an email, hey, you should dress a lot better if you're going to be asking people for money like this. Think about that. If you're going to ask for money, especially hundreds of thousands of dollars, that person most likely dresses the part. He realized he wasn't always doing that. So just think about that before you're going to go somewhere and meet people, network, or whatever else. Do your research. What should you wear? What kind of first impression do you want to make? He goes on to say, the single most wasted resource on earth is human intention. How many times have you wanted to do something but not acted right away and forgotten about it later? That's where taking notes, writing down your dreams, putting things on paper and a note on your phone and an email to yourself. Intention. Find those intentions that line up with your values, that you'd be proud of for accomplishing. Write them down and take the action on them. Because we all intend to do lots of things. I happen to be good at starting things. So I'm pretty good with having an intention and actually taking some action on it. And I can say at the very least doing that, you'll remember them more. They won't just fall to the wayside. So if you're not going to take action, that action may at least write them down. You can only prepare for making the best possible first impression on those new people you'll meet in the future. I also think that me reading a book a week, me watching videos, listening to podcasts will help me with those first impressions because I can relate to things more. I can relate to people. I can give them ideas that may be helpful. Another mantra, fess up to your failures. At a point in the book, he realizes he really failed when it came to two of the people working for Pencils of Promise. They are robbed at knife point. And they send him the email talking about the laptop and that they were robbed. And Adam responds with, well, you know, our corporate policy is that we don't reimburse you for your items when you're working in the field. And the guy responded, very upset, going, you don't get it. We were robbed at knife point. Our lives were on the line. That's why he was emailing. He failed to think about the people first. And he fessed up to it and realized, wow, I really screwed this up. And we've got to look at the organization totally different now. We've got to have policies in place about what's safe, what's not safe. How do we protect our people? The people that are investing so much in this. So realize you've had failures. Fess up to them. Learn from them and let other people learn from them. That's the best part about failing, if you and other people can share and learn from them. Moving on, the most powerful thing in the world is an idea whose time has come. You got the idea, right? You got to make it happen, share it, bring it to fruition. He says, I personally learned that failure is a necessary step toward achievement. So many of us look at failure and say, oh, I'm going to stop. I failed once. That business failed. Realize they're all experiments in life. As long as you keep going, they're experiments. 1,000 light bulbs, experiments until one worked, until the one we used for years and years worked. Why stop after one failure, or 5 or 10, or 999, or 2,000? If it's a worthy thing, keep going. If you're learning from it, it's not a failure. It's something you can once again share with other people, share with yourself, and learn from. A mantra, learn to close the loop. Always circle back with people. Always thank them. He has an example in here where someone had sent in maybe $1,000 or something. And he realized, I never thanked them. So 2 or 3 years later, he circled back and wrote him a letter, I believe. And that came back with more benefits. The person was like, oh yeah, that's great what you're doing. I see you're growing. Let me help out some more. So circle back. Jason Gaynard says in his book, to circle back, when somebody wants to meet you on LinkedIn or join or link to you, spend a few minutes, research them, and drop them a little personalized note, letting them know that you know stuff about them. And the more you know about these people, the more you can share helpful things with them. That's more of a reason to be linked than just accepting all these connections. Close the loop. Circle back. He says, make the little decisions with your head and the big ones with your heart. Do that and you'll be just fine. Actually, Kevin Roberts said that. Make the little decisions with your head and the big ones with your heart. Do that and you'll be just fine. So that's okay to use your head, but what is your heart pulling you toward? Is your heart in it? Is your heart in your day job? Is your heart in what you do daily right now? If not, start working on the other. Start something now. Mantra. Change your words to change your worth. Are you speaking the right lingo? Are you speaking the lingo of who you want to become? He wanted to spend his time maximizing purpose rather than profit. He literally quit Bain Capital. He got the 9 months. Bain let him go off and work on his own entrepreneurial not-for-profit because he had enough of it established to do that. And he realized, yes, he could make more money and have a sure thing, but he'd rather maximize purpose than profit. It hit him early in life. That's great. Next, he says, by changing the words you use to describe something, you change how others perceive it. And this comes to him saying nonprofit. He was at a party, and he asked the guy what he does, and the guy was, I don't know, highfalutin, making some good money, doing something, investment or something else. And he goes, oh, what do you do, Adam? It's like, oh, I have a nonprofit. And at that point, he said that guy just was like, oh, okay, let me quickly end this conversation and move on. So I realized, wow, I never really thought of it as a nonprofit. I've always thought of it like his own little entrepreneurial. And in reality, he said, for purpose. It's a for-purpose entity. The purpose is to help all these kids with education, to help them with cleanliness. I mean, they have all these different programs built in that help kids from learning how to wash their hands and having a clean place to use a restroom. The benefits of education are just amazing. But he wanted to note here that it's the words you use can really turn people on or turn them off. And he realized saying nonprofit was turning people off. And it made him feel not on equal footing. Whereas before, being a consultant and stuff, oh yeah, I'm on equal footing. But now I have a nonprofit and some people look down upon that. So it's important sometimes, the words you use. Think about what you're doing. What are you offering? It's like copywriting. Are you offering it with the right words for people to understand it? For the most people to understand it? For the right people you want to reach? So the words are important. A goal realized is a goal defined. That's another chapter, a little mantra for the chapter. A goal realized is a goal defined. As in, you need to define your goals first. You don't realize goals that you don't define. Don't think that the people that got somewhere that you think are successful got there without having goals, writing them down. Shailene Johnson points out, write them down on a paper with a pen and your hand moving it. For a lot of us, that is so important. Try it if you haven't tried it. Write down a goal right now. Quit listening to podcasts. Write it down on the back of a business card, something you have around you. Put it in your pocket. Put it back in your wallet. Put it somewhere you'll see it and pull it out and look at it. And then realize you can break down that goal, that dream, into small, actionable steps that you take each and every day. You want to be the tortoise, not the hare. Shailene points that out. And it really hit me. Like, I kept telling myself, even before I started taking our class, can I dedicate time each day, 30 minutes or an hour, to take action steps on each of my ideas? Every day, momentum builds, and you see the accomplishments. Every day. So write them down. A goal realized is a goal defined. Define it. He says you have to find a mantra and live it fully. Well, he has a lot of mantras, and I'm sure he's trying to live them all fully. You may be safe, but I am free by unknown. We don't know who came up with that. I relate that to so many of us think we're safe in a job we hate or a job that's not really our calling. whereas other people are free. They don't subscribe to all the ideas of saying, oh, I have to have this income and I have to live here and I have to have this kind of car. That's locking them into a job or a career that doesn't fulfill them or they don't like. So think about being free over being safe, especially when safety is just a concept in our mind. How many jobs are truly safe at this point? Safe. I'm safe because I have this job. I work for the state or the county. Or is it really safe? Yeah. Is it better to be free than safe? I think in freedom, you even have more safety. Your own business, you have more control. You know what's going on a lot better than in a bigger company. So Justice from Ghana said, hope is not enough. You have to believe and then it will be so. That's what someone told him. Hope is not enough. You have to believe it, and then it will be so. Rainer Maria Rilke said, live not in dreams, but in contemplation of a reality that is perhaps the future. That's one thing to dream, but sir, contemplating your future. Contemplating the reality you want to live in, the life you want to have, the life you want to look back at and say, wow, I always wanted to do more. I kind of set these big dreams I didn't think were really possible, but other people had done some things like that, so maybe I could. Contemplation of a reality that is perhaps the future. Adam says, we don't just want you to support us. We want you to join us. He got so much buy-in from all these people at the beginning. No money, just realizing it was something that made him feel good. It was a good cause, a good purpose. I'm still wondering. I'm amazed at the draw I have toward this, to helping kids. I don't really fully understand. I'm still, maybe I never will. Kids that pulls at your heartstrings and then realizing, wow, they don't even have a chance for education. Educating them can give them so many more opportunities. It can affect them, their lives, their kids' lives, their community's lives. Maybe with enough schools in a country, the whole country's lives, like Guatemala, is putting 100 schools in there, 1,000 schools in there. How will that change the trajectory of that economy, the whole economy of the country? But to begin with, just you're starting a ripple by educating some kids year after year after year. So you're not just one ripple that expands. You're continuing to make ripples. You're the boat that's changing things. It's creating the ripples as it goes and goes and goes. It really grabbed a hold of me. I said, wow, $25,000 can build a school. How many of you, once again, can get together a group of people and come with $25,000 and build a school and hang your hat on that and go, wow, I didn't know it was possible. It was a big dream. But I set out and tried it and did it. Next part of the book. Sometimes you just know with absolute conviction that the complete absence of doubt is so rare, it generates a sense of excitement that's so powerful, it becomes shocking. So absolute conviction. There's no doubt anymore. He's like, well, I'm going to make this happen. He started off wanting to build one school. One. Can you start off with one widget? Make one widget and sell it. Just go through the process. Start with that first stepping stone. One school. That's a big deal. And once you do something once, you've learned so much. You've probably had some failures along the way, but the next one's that much easier. He couldn't believe it that they built so many schools. At some point, maybe it was 15 or 20. And the guy said, yeah, come back to me when you've built 100 in the next 2 years. He really pressed him to go, you got to think bigger, dream bigger. And he's helped pushing him. He's like, oh, wow. How could we do that? It took us a year or two or three to build these schools. But it really took off. People kept believing and kept funding. I believe in keeping your friends close and your family even closer. I like his twist on that, of keeping your friends close and your enemies closer. He has a tight tie to his family and dedicated the first school to, I think, who he calls his mama or grandma. Very tight, tight-knit family that he thought, wow, I have all these opportunities because my family came over here. Some of them survived the Holocaust, and this made my life that much easier and better. He really wanted to give back. That's something just realizing. I went and watched YouTube to see some of these kids in India begging. And realize just how much of an opportunity you have. If you're born in a country that has schools provided for you and everybody gets to go, the opportunities we've been given are vast. And what seems like a decent amount of money here is a ton of money other places. Can build a school. That's not a school like the ones you see here with air conditioning and everything else, but it's a lot better than when you have no school, or in the one of the pictures, a rusty tin roof building that's made out of posts only. Surround yourself with those who make you better. Important. Find some mentors. People that are just retiring, they usually have some free time. And when you take interest in them, they're excited to spend time and lunch with you or have lunch with you. I keep trying to pay. I usually do pay. It's amazing what you can learn. Who are you hanging out with? When you have all these good ideas that you want to share and you should be sharing, are the people around you supportive? Might be time to change those to help your life trajectory change. So surround yourself with those who make you better. Bliss does not come from materials or possessions. It comes from fulfilling one's purpose in this existence. That quote is from Ray Chambers. Bliss does not come from materials or possessions. It comes from fulfilling one's purpose in this existence. I've often thought myself, my purpose is to help people. I used to think it was to be a good boss, and I realized I'm not so sure I want to have a company with lots of employees and deal with all that. Yeah, I like to buy used cars and autocross some. But realizing I'm going to build a school already has so much of a different impact on me than the thought of buying a new car. Like I was going to buy like a little used SUV. And I realized, nope, if I do that, I'm going to hold off. This money is first going to build a school. Because I've realized at this point in my life, possessions seem neat and fine. In this case, I want a functional vehicle just for the family. But no, I like the idea of helping and starting a ripple effect of educating kids. And not even knowing the opportunities, but knowing that they will have more opportunities because of that. It's amazing. Knowing that Lewis Howes, he spoke about building 3 schools, and he said it's not even fair how much he gets back from doing that. Just how good he feels. He feels bad about how good it is. And that's what I think people can get out of helping other people. If you have any of the extra money, maybe you should donate, or not donate. I go to kiva.org and I loan money out to different people in this world that I will never meet. You can do it at $25 a pop. You can help them if you're into farming, in my case, and go find farmers and select them and help fund their next planting season, or help them buy more land or buy more animals to improve their life, their family's lives. So I'm so glad when I see that I'm kind of over the possession game. I've often wondered, if I ever buy an expensive car, how would I dare justify that? I've kind of told myself, would I first donate that much money to a charity or loan it out? Probably. I just can't picture that going, okay, I'm first going to do this. That's where this step right now, building a school, is. Give first. Give first on something that can start affecting kids. I think they say within 6 months or less. A car is not going to help me. It's not surely not going to help more than my family. Another quote here, African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I relate this back to what I've said many times on this podcast. I've been much better with business ideas and ventures when I had partners. Riptide Hosting, which has freed me up to have more time to do these other things, I don't think it was possible had I tried to do that myself. Actually, I know it wasn't, because I didn't have the expertise to do all the different pieces that it took for us to do that. So literally, how can you get more people to go with you? Or who can you join to go further? Because as this says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Plus, a lot of journeys, I think, are more fun together. Adam had a lot of people join in early. He's probably blown away and probably gave him so much confidence because of that. Just the opportunities, like, wow, these people are buying into what I'm selling or what I'm saying, what I'm feeling, they're feeling. The stories I tell them, they understand, they relate to. That's what stories do for you. He then says, the task I ignored were the ones I feared. So it was 2 or 3 years into pop being real that he finally realized, well, I really fear asking for money, so I don't do it, period. He hadn't done it. He hadn't asked anybody for money. So he finally realized, hey, I got to do this not for me, because the organization was still there, but he realized this organization got to the point where people were getting salaries and being paid, and then somebody had a kid. It's like, whoa, this isn't just us single guys. There's actually families relying on us and needing decent insurance. Wowzers. I need to actually go out there and get past my fears to get people to fund the operational side of this so people can be paid well for what they're doing. He points out that all money, or the company points out, all money donated online goes straight to funding projects in the field, to helping educate kids. They throw a gala every year that brings in the money for the operations of the internals of the business. So he had to get over this fear of asking for money. And he really thought he was going to go out there and ask for $250,000 for 3 years from the person. And he ended up only being able to ask for $100,000. But he got it. He overcame his fear. I can relate to this in at least our business. We have never gone out there and cold called people and said, hey, you should use us for web hosting. Just haven't done it. We kind of got by the same thing he did. We had enough presence on the internet, and we have enough SEO and advertising there that we kind of have a big web thrown out. So we don't have to cold call, or we don't cold call. We don't have salespeople dialing. Doesn't happen. So you got to challenge yourself. What are you afraid of? What are you fearful of? And then realize it's not just about you. It's just a fear. It's just a mental thing. He then goes on to say, we all know which tasks are the most important in any given day, yet we still choose to do them last. Choose to do those things first. Right here I have my sheet from yesterday with a good 15 items on it to do. I haven't done them all yet, but I am so much more productive when I make a list and write things down. It's amazing. And as he points out, if you knock out some of those tough tasks to begin with, how much easier is the rest? List your tasks. Step one, list them. And then try to knock out some of those harder ones at first. And realize, you want to be the tortoise and not the hare. You want to be taking a step every day. A little bit of effort, a little bit of task, something done, some effort in, a blog post, a podcast, an article, something. You want to do something every day. Learning every day. Unlike sprinting. I think at times I'm really good at sprinting. And then, I'll get finished. I'll come back to that 6 months later. Instead of every day. So choose to do the harder things first. Make your list. Star the ones that are really important. Get them done. Another mantra, listen to your echoes. Notice what's around you, I would say. Notice the hints, the coincidences. Notice those. He says, if an idea grows, it expands far beyond the confines of any one person's control. By limiting it to a single story told by a single voice, we strip it of its true potential. So all this was his dream, his idea to begin with. And it hit him. It's everybody's little dream. It's my dream personally here. Kinch's dream to build a school to start affecting kids' lives and a whole community. It's a lot of it. You let it grow. This idea grows and ebbs and flows. And it only happens whenever you're sharing with other people. Your idea, your business, your podcast, anything else. It grows. The idea grows. Once again, it's better with more people involved, I would say. It's easier to get traction. It's easy to be more accountable when you have partners. If not, get an accountability partner if you have no partners. Be accountable to somebody. Challenge yourself. Mantra 29, near the end. If your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. He said, I looked around and acknowledged that what you see around you is proof of what exists within you. So Ellen Johnson Sirleaf said, if your dreams do not scare you, they're not big enough. That's a good challenge. First, you have to have some dreams. You have to let yourself dream. Maybe go back to think, what did you do as a kid? What were you into? What were your passions from the age of, 8 to 20? What was it? I'm reading a book right now that one of the guys that helped coach Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, a lot of these different people, he loved playing basketball, but he got too injured and too hurt and everything else. Come full circle, he finally got to the point where he became more kind of a guru. And he came back and ended up working with these star basketball athletes and Phil Jackson. He didn't even have that dream. He had the dream of playing basketball until he couldn't play it anymore. So if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. So maybe you have some dreams. Maybe you've written down your goals. Do any of them scare you? Take the challenge of writing down some that are bigger and scarier. I would really like to build a school every year. And I want that just to be one of the things I do to help other people, even monetarily wise. I just want that to be one. I want to have for-purpose businesses. I want to have my business build a school every year. I want to have different projects that do things like this. And those are scary to say, I am committed to doing this. Can I do it? Always enters your mind. Can you? If you set these big dreams, realize you got to start with the first one. Adam wanted to build one school. One. And then somebody kind of helped his little dreams get scarier and bigger. Come back to me after you built 100 schools. 100. Whoa, 102 years or 100 more. Get past 102. How would we even do that? There's the key. You get those big dreams and you say, how? How would I? What would have to happen? Shailene Johnson would say, hey, if you're good at coming up with ideas, and also James Altucher, then you can be good at coming with all the little steps to get that idea completed. If your dreams do not scare you, they're not big enough. This was a great book. I think it's a great organization. I've listened to several podcasts, so you can go there and search for their podcast with Adam Braun. By the point in 2015 that I saw him, he's very polished. He's a great speaker. He and a team of like 7 or 8 people head off to go speak at different places. And one of them, I think the first one was a college. And he's there. And one lady shows up. And the rest of the people that came with him. But that one lady was an early adopter. She felt that she got it. And she brought in more people. You never know. At first, it's probably not going to be easy. You're breaking ground on something like this or any idea you have. Oh, I failed. Only one person showed up. You only fail if you stop. So if you never stop, you never fail. And they're experiments. It was a great read. Easy, great stories. I mean, I could literally picture some of the stuff he's talking about. The journeys. It makes me want to travel more. I really hope after building the school, at some point I take my family down and see the school. I'm even hoping with these guys. So here's where I start sharing ideas and say it's great to share ideas. I asked, hey, could we send pencils down there? My son's into pencil pens. Maybe we don't send pencil pens. We send regular pencils. I said, yeah, sure. Then daydreaming with the family a little bit. It's like, what? If they don't have schools. They put on any playgrounds. What could we maybe send down there? What do our kids play the most with? I asked the kids, hey, what do y'all like the most? What I realized were swings. Most places have rope or they can get chain and you can send down the little rubber swing portion. How neat would that be to start funding swings at the schools or sandboxes? Some of the things that we take for granted, they don't have. I mean, they don't have a school to go to. They have no teachers. They can't read, write. They can't do simple arithmetic. They don't have swings most likely. So just things to think about, dream. How those bigger dreams? Do they scare me? Yeah. Do they scare you? They should. Write down some little ones. Write down some big ones. I hope you'll take a chance to read the book. If not, definitely check out some more of these podcasts with Adam. Check out the organization. Once again, anything donated online goes directly to funding the projects in the field, basically educating the kids. All the schools that they built are still educating kids. Because they get that buy-in from the community for 10 to 20% of labor and or materials. And the governments agree to fund it with teachers. And they agree that the pencils of promise are there to support the teachers. So everything I've heard is great about the organization. I've bought into it. I'm a supporter. I'm here spending time and money on their books and the time to share this. I hope you have some causes like this that you find in your life that you will latch onto and you will share or that you will start. Maybe it's homeless in your area. Can you come up with a way to build them something? But share it. Share what you're into. Share what tugs at you. Share your concerns. I feel like I get so much in life just by sharing ideas. I'm trying to take that to new levels after reading Jason Gaynard's book. To literally network more and help other people more. I need to know more so I can help people more. It's kind of why I think looking at a book a week and Tai Lopez, a book a day. He's created quite a bit by reading a book a day, Tai Lopez has. What can you get into? I challenge you just like they would. Read. Pick up a book like this. Good, easy read. Good causes. Good things you can take away from it for your own life, for your family's life, for people you don't even know yet's life. Once again, the promise of a pencil. This is Ken Trendell with Your Business Podcast. If you like this, please give us a rating. I may still have no ratings as of this time. I'm going to keep doing book reviews because I'm reading at least a book a week, although the goal was to do that by next year. I'm already there. It's been fun. It's a good habit to have. Hope you enjoyed it.